You who are guests this morning, I'm not the pastor. The pastor has an upper respiratory infection. He's not able to be here this morning. That's very unusual for him, if I can speak myself now. So we praise the Lord for you being here this morning. Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, first chapter, the 18th verse, Matthew 1:18. Of course, Matthew being the first book of the New Testament. We're looking in that first chapter and commencing with the 18th verse of Scripture. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We come this morning to commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we read through the Holy Scriptures concerning the birth of Christ, may we realize all these things came to pass because of the great love that our Heavenly Father has for each one of us. A love which is so in depth, a love that is so strong, so overpowering, that we, as created beings upon this earth, are not able to fully comprehend it. May we praise God for the great love that He has for each of us. For without it, we would be doomed to spend eternity forever separated from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We would be doomed to spend eternity apart from all that is good, all that is holy, apart from the purest embodiment of love. And truly, the eternal gratefulness for which we are indebted to our Heavenly Father is beyond comprehension. As we take this opportunity to read through the Word of God, we read of the events which took place so very long ago, events which at times appear to be so foreign to us today, in many cases, it's difficult for us to truly, initially, grasp the understanding of them. However, in our study of God's holy word, we find that the meaning of these events are revealed to us, and it is then that we are able to understand more fully the lessons that we are to obtain from them. You recall from the Old Testament scripture the night when God sent his death angel down into Egypt. Now, this was indeed a tragic time for the Egyptians, for the firstborn son in every home died that night. But this meant salvation for the Israelites, because they had obeyed the instructions of God and had slain a perfect lamb, a lamb which was completely without blemish, And the Israelites had placed the blood of that lamb on the top and sides of the doorposts of their homes. This, of course, was a picture of the salvation which we today have given to us through the blood shed by Jesus Christ as he hung upon that cross. You'll recall from the scripture the night Nicodemus went to Jesus Christ and asked him the age-old question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus answered him, "You must be born again," thereby revealing unto Nicodemus that which was necessary in order to obtain salvation. Beyond a doubt, however, the most blessed event that has ever taken place in this world was the night we just read of, the night that Jesus Christ was born into this cold, cruel, sin-sick world in which we reside today. Jesus left the love, the comfort of his heavenly kingdom in order to become our Savior. He was born upon this earth in order that he might die for our sins. Christ was born to save us. He was born in order that we might be reborn, born in order that one day we might spend all eternity with him in his heavenly kingdom. And having read from the scripture just earlier, we see that as the day wears away and the sun begins to slip from the sky, a man is approaching the little town of Bethlehem. The man is Joseph, and the woman with him is Mary. These two people are the keepers of a very precious secret. For some months earlier, prior to this time, the angel had appeared unto Mary. The angel Gabriel had informed her that she was to bear a child and that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High would overshadow her and she would give birth to the Son of God. It was God's desire for his son to enter this world, to endure all the experiences of mankind, and finally give his life in order to pay the price for our sinfulness. The method chosen by God to introduce Christ into this world was that of childbirth. Jesus Christ, we see in the scripture, was born of a virgin, and then he was raised much as any other child. And as we read the scripture, we find that Mary was at first perplexed when the angel advised her of God's plan, for she had never engaged in a marital relationship. Thus, we find her asking the question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" It was then that the angel advised her of God's intention. The scripture then reads, "Mary replied, 'May it be to me as you have said.'" Later, the angel went to Joseph and told him that Mary had conceived from the Holy Spirit, that she was going to give birth to a son, and they were to give him the name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. The angel then told Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." On that precious night in history, we find Mary and Joseph going from one end to another. But every end is filled with guests, for this is the time of the taxing of the people. And untold numbers had gathered in Bethlehem in order to register. And as the time arrived for Mary to give birth, Joseph was able to convince a stable keeper to allow them to stay in the stable while the child was born. Thus it was, while the cattle chewed their cud, while the stars shone down upon them, while a chorus of angels announced, "Glory to God in the highest," that the Son of God was born into this world. That was the greatest, the most blessed night the world has ever known. It was the night of our dear Savior's birth. The scripture tells us in the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman. When the time had fully come, God has a divinely planned program for this world, and he's always right on schedule. God sent his Son when all things were right for his coming, when certain events had taken place to fully prepare the world for his coming. You'll recall from God's word, the whole sin issue began in the Garden of Eden. It was there that man was enticed into sinfulness, and as a consequence, the entire human race has been brought down to ruin. Satan chose the serpent as the instrument through which he would tempt man. And consequently, God pronounced a curse upon the snake. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 and 15, there the scripture reads, "Cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To be more explicit, Christ would one day crush Satan. And there, lying in the manger, is the offspring of the woman. Man had no part in the birth of Christ. This precious infant would one day grow up, crush Satan, and cast him into the lake of fire, which God has prepared for him, along with those who have chosen to follow him. As time progressed, we find that God informed Abraham it would be through his descendants all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Jesus Christ is the one who has indeed blessed all nations. We find further from the written word of God that David spoke of a great king whose kingdom would endure forever. Today, we see that the name of Jesus has endured for some 2,000 years, and it continues to endure. The prophet Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prophet, the Prince of Peace." Today, each one of these names have been attributed to Jesus Christ. We find in the Holy Scripture that the promised Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah, the line of David, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Every detail of Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As the fullness of time continued, we see that the Jewish people were a covenant people. God had committed his secrets to them. The various tabernacles and temple sacrifices all pointed to the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. The Jewish people were a monotheist people. There was only one God, Jehovah, whose glory filled the whole world. And this was the one truth that Jesus would sound out, that men should worship him and him only. And though the Jews looked for a Messiah, he had never come. At that particular point in time, the Jews were a conquered nation. They were in subjection to the power of the Romans. Their bright hopes had settled into dark despair. They felt forgotten by God. However, it's always darkest just before the dawn. And it is now the time for the sunrise. The time is right for the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. It was at this point in time, in the fullness of time, that Alexander the Great had conquered the known world. He spread the Greek language so that the people at one end of the spectrum could communicate in Greek with those at the other end of the spectrum. It was now time for Jesus to be born. Thus, he and his preachers can go into every nation and preach the gospel in a language that all men would be able to understand. Language can certainly create a barrier. The Greeks had broken that barrier down, for nearly every nation understood the Greek language. By his accomplishment, following the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, his ministers can go everywhere proclaiming the gospel message. It was at this point in time that the fullness of the Romans had crushed the warring nations of the earth and peace reigned. It was possible for the missionaries of Christ to go forth and to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Additionally, the Romans had built magnificent highways for missionaries to travel upon. Roman ships sailed all the known seas. Thus, it was possible for a Paul or a Barnabas to carry the gospel message to those people who lived great distances away. The mighty wars were now over. The Roman eagle spread over the nations. It was a time of peace. It was a magnificent era in the fullness of time for the Messiah to be born and bring a greater peace yet. But in spite of all these advantages which man had, men were sunk deep in sin. The world was clothed in darkness. The creature was worshiped instead of the Creator, and there was little or no hope shining in the hearts of men. It was time for the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And thank God he did come. He was born right on schedule. The long night of waiting is over. Christ the Savior is born. You notice the role the angels played in the birth of Christ. First, an angel came to Zechariah and foretold the birth of John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Then the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus. An angel then appeared to Joseph in order to comfort him and to enlighten him as to what had taken place. Then, on that blessed night, an angel of the Lord appeared unto the shepherd, saying, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Suddenly, the scripture tells us the heavens were filled with angels and announced the blessed message, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." These angels announced the sweetest news ever to touch a human heart as they told of the Savior's birth. Never before nor since has God seen fit to send angels to make such an announcement. But then this was no ordinary announcement. These were the greatest words of grandeur the world had ever been blessed with. The scripture also reveals to us the role of the shepherds. On that glorious night, while the mighty Caesar slept in his gold canopied bed in Rome, and the high priest slept in his palace in Jerusalem. No one came from heaven to reveal unto them that the Savior had been born. They were not privileged to hear the announcement of the angels. God's angels did not go to the high and mighty. They didn't go to the rich, nor to those blessed with a great education. But we see rather they appeared unto shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Jesus loved the poor. He loved the lowly. The scripture contains the prophecy that Christ would preach the gospel to the poor. When we read that John the Baptist sent his disciples to inquire whether Jesus was in fact the Christ, Jesus sent back the message, "The poor have the gospel preached unto them." Jesus was indeed the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus was so people-oriented that even those persons who were meek and lowly, poor and rejected by society, could come to him for assurance. He welcomes all men everywhere. He stated in the scripture, "He who comes to me, I will never drive away." We see what a wonderful Savior he is. Zacchaeus, the despised publican, could approach him with ease. The woman taken in adultery was entirely welcome in his presence. And today, you and I can also come to him knowing he'll never drive us away. Now, this doesn't mean the rich cannot come to Christ. Abraham and David were rich. One was called the friend of God. The other was described in the scripture as being after God's own heart. Jesus welcomes all who come to him. His arms are open wide. He tells us through his holy word, "Come unto me." Some of the richest, greatest, and most prominent people who have ever lived have been humble Christians. You'll notice these shepherds had a simple, childlike faith. When they received the message of Christ's birth from the angels, they didn't reason among themselves what a strange phenomenon this was. They didn't argue about the impossibility of a virgin birth. They simply said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Indeed, the good news of the gospel is only good news to those who believe it. Christmas has no true meaning except to those who see Christ in it. All the Christmas carols, all the brightly lighted Christmas trees, all the sweet greetings of friends and loved ones, all of the feastings, all of these things are nothing more than empty forms if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The shepherds then went to see the newborn Jesus. The shepherds took the time to go and see Jesus. Today, so many people pass him by. He offers salvation to everyone. His desire is to bless you both today and forevermore. He wishes to lift that sin burden from your soul and give you that peace that only he is capable of giving, a peace that passes all understanding. But so many people are so busy with the things of this world, they have no time for him. And yet the scripture rings out the question, "What Shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Notice how the shepherds were anxious to share with everyone they met the glorious story of Jesus. And that is the attitude we need today. The world today needs to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And our world begins in our homes, our communities, our schools, the workplace. There are those in our society who are longing for a message of comfort and hope. And it's wrong for us who are knowledgeable of the gospel message to withhold it from those who need it so badly. You will recall in the scripture that whenever Jesus healed and blessed people, he told them in nearly every case, go and tell. Today, if you claim the title of Christian, it is your duty to go and tell others of his saving grace. If Jesus Christ had not been born, we would be hopelessly on the way to hell today. But because of his life, burial, and resurrection, our sins have been washed away. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are now members of the family of God. And praise be unto God, one day we'll go to spend all eternity with him in a home which he has prepared for us in his heavenly kingdom. And we need to share this good news with others. In reflecting back upon that which we have looked at this morning, we have observed a man and a woman, Mary and Joseph, completely surrendered to the will of God. We have observed that the world was waiting in anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. And we have observed the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, born in the manger in Bethlehem. The Creator of the world has now come into the world. The angels in the heavens delivered the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Humble shepherds went to find Jesus and told others about him. This morning, have you found Jesus? Today, we know Jesus Christ not as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in a manger, but rather we know him as a living Savior. You may know him through faith. Though he was born in a Bethlehem manger long ago, that makes no difference in your life unless he's also been born in your heart. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. In order to obtain that salvation, it's only necessary that we come to him by faith, repenting of a sinful past and accepting him as our Lord and Savior. The scripture assures us the very moment you within your heart accept Christ as your Savior, your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and remembered no more. Your body becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Your name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and a home is prepared for you in the kingdom of heaven. This morning, that decision, what you do with Christ, is yours. You pray as the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart. We invite you to come this morning to accept Christ as your Savior if you haven't already. Perhaps you're here this morning, you're a Christian. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know you have been saved, but you also know your life hasn't counted for Christ. You've let him down. You can rededicate your life to the Lord. Simply take the time to rededicate to his holy will, his holy word. Perhaps you're here without a church home. If it's the Lord's will, we invite you to join with us here, First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. May his precious, perfect will be accomplished in your life completely. We're going to pray. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. At that time, you come. Let us pray. Our dear most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your holy name. Grateful, Lord, for this Christmas season. Grateful, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary in order that we might have the precious gift of salvation. We pray, Lord, your perfect, precious will be accomplished in the lives of each one gathered here this evening, this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen.